You're listening to the Eyes on Isles podcast with Matt O'Leary and Mitch Anderson.
Hello and welcome to the Eyes on Isles podcast, episode number 163. What's going on? I am Matt O'Leary with Mitch Anderson. Mitch, how are you doing, buddy?
Are we not living in a pandemic, Matt? This is not a pandemic happening right now, like a global pandemic at this moment.
I feel like you're trying to get me to answer a trick question, but I believe, to my knowledge, still, yes, it's a pandemic.
Okay, I'm just checking because I don't understand this. The Tampa Bay Lightning just had players or fans drink out of the cup. What the hell are you doing? What is happening? Like, then they're passing it from one to... Why? What? Did you not just live in a hotel for, like, 2 months because there's a goddamn pandemic happening? You're like, let's take drinks out of the cup. No, this is pass-through droplets. This is the worst possible way. You might as well sneeze on them. You might as well. What the hell is going on here?
That... not great. I didn't see that, but that's not great. Whew.
It's not great at all. I can't get behind that. It's great that they want it. It really is. But it doesn't seem like there's a pandemic happening in Florida. I don't get what's... I haven't looked at Florida numbers. Maybe Florida's doing very well numbers-wise. But like even then, what the hell, man?
Well, I believe Florida just opened everything up pretty much this past week.
Okay. Did they cure it? I'd say that facetiously because obviously I know they didn't. But like, are they doing well? I don't understand.
Not... I would argue not well enough to be doing this, but I'm not a science guy. I'm going to leave that up to Fauci and the people a lot smarter than I am. I could like kind of formulate sentences about hockey and say them into a microphone. That's where about I tap out on my talents.
Fair enough. That's where I should tap out on mine as well.
So for me, I'm going to use my my little time in the beginning to wish you a happy International Podcast Day, buddy.
Good, thank you. Happy International Podcast Day to you, my friend.
Yes, and to the listener as well. Love being in the podcast game, so just wanted to get that out there. We've been doing this for 3 years now, which is crazy, and you guys along for the ride is the reason why we've been able to do what we do, so we appreciate it. Right, Mitch?
Absolutely. Do you remember your first podcast?
My first ever podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. It was like 2015. It was like 5 or 6 years ago. Yeah.
Same thing. It was awful. I ran this other hockey blog that I called The Line of Offense. This is where the TLO comes from. And so like it was not very good. It was me and another guy, and the guy came to my house to record it and never came back. We did it remotely ever since, even though he lived in the same city. There was no reason not to do it. So clearly he did not like coming over to my house.
Yeah, that's tough. Yikes.
But that's been 6 years, man. 6 years of podcasting. That's nuts. I didn't know what it was before 6 years ago. So 7 years ago, I didn't know what a podcast was. And so to be doing as many as I do now, it's wild. I couldn't understand a world without podcasting at this point.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in the same boat. I mean, we do this, this weekly. Patreon shows, we probably do, for Eyes on Isles, what, 3 or 4 shows a week with everything?
Yeah, at least, yeah, and minimum.
And then I do my own stuff on the side with the jet stuff that I do, and I work at a radio station. So, like, yes, we do live stuff, but there's also podcast elements there as well. It's really become my entire life. Like, it's crazy, but it's the God's honest truth.
You wouldn't want it any other way, right?
No. Yeah, I love it. I feel really privileged and lucky to be able to do this every single day. It's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, so thank you for all the listeners, that's for sure.
Absolutely, much appreciated. Let's get into this episode, Mitch. We have a lot to get to. First topic on the agenda, Lou Lamoriello had himself a press conference at the end of the season. So it was a couple of days ago, but it was the end of the season press conference. Dropped a few nuggets, Mitch. Ironically, he usually doesn't like to say too much, but there was a lot of information on this, Mitch.
Yeah, so we won't go into every little nugget that he drops into detail. We kind of go through that on our Patreon show that we did just yesterday. So if you want to get all of that, that's a half hour on this topic alone. And that's the patreon.com/eyesonisles, and $5 a month gets you all of our podcast content, every other content, live streams, community of over 100 Islanders fans just willing to talk Islanders all day, every day. They're some of the most passionate people I've ever come across. So join up there and get this topic and more for $5 a month. But with that being said, let's briefly go over some of these points. The one that really stuck out to me was him specifically saying, we're playing at the Coliseum next year. That is confirmed. Like he said, that is a confirmation.
That's kind of bold because, they don't really have, I feel like, well, to the public's knowledge, they don't really have all that Coliseum stuff figured out. But maybe Lou knows stuff that we don't know. I would imagine so in the position that he's in.
I would definitely imagine he spoke it to Laura Curran at some point to be like, so we got this figured out, right? Right? I forget who's now in control of it. I forget
I think
his name.
Oakview.
It's something the third or whatever.
Didn't Oakview take it over?
Oakview isn't the leasee, so they don't own the lease of the building. Oakview okay. will manage the building, so they're looking like run the staff and all kinds of things and whatnot. But like the person in charge of the building itself is a guy I forget. He's out in Florida. He was part of the deal already with Prokhorov. I forget his name, but either way, they are now leasing it, and clearly Lou and the Islanders know that they will be playing, assuming we're playing
right.
In all 31 barns, we will be playing at the Coliseum next year.
Right, which that's the thing. It's like with the asterisks saying, like, if we are okay to go. And honestly, this is a whole nother conversation, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. The NHL needs to figure out a way for that to happen because that's where they make so much of their revenue. Like they need to figure out a way in which they could get their season where there's fans in the stands so that they can make the money necessary because it could get rough if they're in another bubble situation.
So, well, they're still talking about bubble situation just because of how everything is going right
now.
Of
course.
Outside of Florida, I guess. They're having, I think the last one that I read was 6 bubbles, and it wasn't a full season bubbles. It was like you would fly in, you'd play 2 weeks, right? You'd sit in the bubble for 2 weeks, you'd fly back out, you'd go home for a week, and then you go to the next bubble type of thing.
Yeah, that was definitely one of the things, Mitch, that I noticed, like you said, with the games at the Coliseum, which is a good thing. Something else that also stood out to me is Lou Lamoriello's quote saying that he's looking to keep this team together. Like, that's their goal. And with the cap situation, I find it very hard for this to be a close to identical team to what we saw in the bubble not too long ago, because I think they're going to have to move some key pieces out just to retain the RFAs that you have to keep around. Like, Devontae's, Ryan Pulak, Matt Barzal, those guys most likely aren't going anywhere, so you need to find the space to keep them around.
Yeah, like, unless he brings in all of the LTIR money, I don't see how this happens. Because in what he was referencing there is Matt Martin, Derek Brassard, and Andy Green, right? The three prime UFAs. I keep hearing that Tom Kunackle will be ready for training camp, and I go like, yeah, but he's a UFA, guys. Are they really bringing Tom Kunackle back? I know he might just cost $700,000, but that's We're debating buying, not we, but like people are debating buying out Andrew Ladd because he might bring in $666,000 in savings. Why would we do that why would we sign Tom Kunackle if we're that short on money? No. So it's those three guys. To bring them back is probably going to cost $3 million, right? Like, let's just assume it's $1 million each.
Yep.
And like give or take a couple $100,000 depending on who you like more or less. That's what it's going to be. They don't have $3 million to just toss around to guys that, you know, are going to form the periphery of the team, assuming you're keeping everyone else, right? And that's the assumption we're making here. I just don't see it.
No, absolutely not. I don't think that they're going to be able to. Not even like if the goal was just, we like this group, we want to keep them together because we think we can win this with this group. Not possible. You can't. There's not a way that you could do it. You have to be able to clear out some money. Who that is, we don't know yet. It could be a whole laundry list of people. With the NHL draft next week, I would imagine that things are going to start to happen pretty soon because that's when draft picks get moved. And a lot of times we see, you know, trades start to go down around the draft for that reason. And it's right before free agency also, which is another prime example of why it happens.
Yeah, it's only a couple of days, right? Like, the draft usually is, like, the last weekend of June, and then you have August 1st, so you've got, like, well, I guess 3 or 4 days, because if it's June 26th, then you've got, like, four and a half days, right? Because the free agency starts at noon to figure things out. But here, the draft is on the 6th, and free agency is on the 9th. So you have very few days. There's a lot of action in a short window. And so you're right. Like, things are going to start happening. And the Islanders have pieces to move here. I don't see them bringing back Derek Brassard or Matt Martin. I'm not saying I don't want either of them back. I don't want Derek Brassard back. But I don't see them bringing back Martin and Brassard. I'm not sure about Green. The only reason they would bring Green back is if they can move one of Letty or Boychuk or both. And they don't need to sign him right away. Like, they can wait. He's not going to be getting a ton of offers at 37 years old.
No, that's the thing. Like, they could wait weeks and a month, maybe even to sign him. Because like you said, they're going to have to move off pieces. You're not going to, like we said, keep the same defensive core and then move or then re-sign Andy Green. Excuse me. If you're only re-signing Andy Green, if you are moving pieces away, like you mentioned, and we don't know what's going to happen yet. So we can't like hitch ourselves to that wagon. Maybe they move one of Letty, Boychuk, or Taze. Like we have no idea. There's no way to know yet.
No, and I'm sure like Lou is going to be like Batman, right? With like he's going to have a million contingency plans. So like this is plan A. Oh crap, this thing didn't happen or this domino didn't fall the way I wanted it to file. That's fine. Plan B. Oh crap, the wind is blowing southwest instead of southeast. Plan C. Like he's going to have a bunch of contingency plans based on whatever is happening.
Right.
Because you have to, right? Like he has so many variables to juggle here. Not only does he have to clear out cap space to sign the guys he wants, he's then got to sign the guy he wants, but he's also got to consider what's going to happen next year when they're going to have another cap crunch and expansion draft. You got to keep all of those things juggling at the same time. So he's going to have a ton of plans going through. And the only way he keeps the guys that he wants to keep is to make room, right? Because $8.905 million ain't going to get it done.
No, absolutely not. And as much as we as a group of Islanders fans might want, you know, some of these guys who've been here for a while to stick around, it's just not that likely to happen.
No, it just isn't. Unless Matthew Barzal, Ryan Pollock and Dem Taze take like the craziest of team friendly deals where they come in and say like, Lou, we're going to help you out this year and this year only. Sign us to, I don't know, a 10% increase on our wages or something stupid like that. Whatever. Or 110%. Just give us 110% of what we earned last year. And then you owe us next year. Something like that.
And that's not happening. Like,
I don't see that happening. No. That would be the greatest thing ever. Obviously, like they would immediately, all three of them to the rafters.
Yes.
Right away. Just to me. Don't even wait. Just do it now. They deserve it. I don't care what happens the next X number of years. You pull that off, boom, to the rafters.
16, my numbers are way off. 6, 13, and 25 are going up.
Going up. Right, done. Lou's gonna have to get into the 40s at some point.
Exactly. What else stood out from his comments that you liked?
The RFA discussion, right, and then what eventually led to Joshua saying, apparently being assured that he will get a qualifying offer, which surprised quite a few people, including myself. Apparently I have a hard on for Joshua Sang. Look at the comments for anything that I write with Joshua Sang's name on it on Eyes on Isles, and you scroll to the comments and it's like, this guy's got a hard on for Joshua Sang. I like his style of play, but I was surprised just as much as everybody that he would get a qualifying offer.
Yeah. I was too. I thought that it would be like, okay, we pass you through waivers, no one took you, like your value's not there. We'll just cut bait, move on. You do what you want to do at that point and go from there. But supposedly that's not going to be the case. Now, is it because that Lou Lamoriello wants to keep his rights and then trade it so you can get something back instead of losing him for nothing? Or is it that he wants to keep him and give him a shot to make the roster?
It's one or the other, right? Like, there's no other question about it. It's either he wants to move him because he sees him as an asset, which he is, if not a very valuable one, or it's he's got a place for him on the team. I have my issues with the second one, not because I don't, like Hosang's play. It's how does he fit in what they need? They need goal scorers. He is very much not one of those.
Yeah, good point. That's a good point. He is not going to score you goals. He's a playmaker. If they had another finisher, maybe it's a different story. I don't know. I'd kind of like to see him play with Anders Lee.
I would love it. If he makes a team, great. Let's see what happens. Let's try to create as many goals as we can, and hopefully the guys who do finish, finish more frequently. Maybe that's it, right? Like, we just didn't create enough opportunities, which I don't think is the case. But maybe that's it. And then you're looking at your right wings is you have Eberle, maybe Hosang, Bailey, Clutterbuck. And flip those two guys in the middle with on whatever line you'd like. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I just don't think that's what they need. But I don't have, like, how many years of hockey management under my belt like Lou Lamoriello does. So clearly he sees things differently.
Exactly. 100%. So we'll have to see what he does there. But just, interesting stuff from Lou giving us some nuggets, which is pretty rare.
It's very rare. He usually says nothing, right? Like, you look at anyone who's interacted with Lou on a media side, and the one thing they say is, like, Lou Lamoriello tells you nothing. He will tell you what he wants to tell you, and that's it. And it's true. Like, look, if I'm even digging around the peripheries trying to, like, speak to prospects, and, like, even their agents are going, nope, I can't talk to you. That's Lou's rule. And you're going, you don't work for Lou.
Yeah.
You don't work for him. You can talk to me. And they go, no. So that's how powerful of a manager Lou is. Even the agents are like, yet, not happening. I'm not saying a word because I don't want to screw with Lou.
Interesting. Wow. It's crazy how much pull he has.
It is. So, like, that's impressive. And as frustrating as that is on a professional side for me, it is encouraging from a fan side because he's the guy running my team.
Exactly. That much we like, for sure.
So, yeah.
So, we mentioned the Islanders' cap struggles a little bit. And one of the ways around that could be buyouts. And the buyout period has opened. Henrik Lundqvist got bought out today officially by the Rangers, which we saw coming, but it was just became official today. So do we think we see a buyout for the New York Islanders? Why or why not?
No. Sorry. Yet. It's not happening.
No. No shot.
No. There's no one that brings enough value in a buyout that they can't trade. Like, Nick Leddy brings, I think it's like $4 million of cap space or cap savings this year. If you buy him out, but just why would you do that? Why would you buy out Nick Leddy? Unless you have to, but like you can definitely find somewhere that's going to take his full $5.5 million.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He is someone who actually has like a decent amount of value. I'm not saying you're going to get anything amazing for him, but you can get something for him in a trade. It's the Johnny Boychuk's you wish you could buy out, the Andrew Ladd's, the Leo Komarov. There's just not enough value in the buyout for those three players.
No, like Leo Komarov, I think his is better of the three you just listed.
Right.
I think I'm going to do it right now. I know I did it a while. I did it for every player, but it's hard to remember every single player on the roster. So as I do the buyout now, they save $916,000.
Yeah, so... Yeah, less than a mil.
You're better off burying him in the AHL.
Yeah.
Right, because you would save more.
That's true. Yeah, maybe do that.
Right, you wouldn't save a whole lot more, but you'd save something.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like you'd assume that Ladd and Hickey are definitely getting buried. Could you bury Leo Komarov also?
Why not?
That's true.
I don't think they will because they like his play and but if you're short a million, it's kind of like Leo, sorry bud, we're gonna send you there. We'll call you up if we need you. That's how they have to operate things at the moment. But you wouldn't buy him out, which is the question at hand. Is there anyone that we could buy out in this team to make a ton of cap space? Yeah, there's a few guys that bring a ton of cap space, but like those guys, let me bring up the list that I have here. They're all like our top guys in terms of like Lee, Eberle, Leddy. And when I say Leddy, I mean like at least you could trade his full cap hit, right? Whereas you couldn't do that for just about everyone, right? Like no one's going to trade for what's his name? Johnny Boychuk straight up. It's just not going to happen.
No, no shot. No shot. That cap hit is tough. But you had to do it at the time. Like, we weren't concerned about 2020 when you signed him in 2015.
Right. So here's every player that would return a larger than $3 million saving this year if we bought them out.
Let's hear them.
Letty, Lee, Bailey, Peugeot, Nelson, Eberle.
Okay, none of those guys are getting bought out.
No. Anything between $1 million and $2.9 million, you've got Cizikas at 2.6, Varlamov at 2.4, Pelech at 2.083. So he would actually return you a cap savings, I guess you can call it. He would return more than his cap hit.
That's interesting.
Right? So if you bought him out, that's not happening. And Anthony Beauvillier would net you a full $2 million return. And then Kyle Clutterbuck at 1.6. The only one I could see there being bought out would be Kyle Clutterbuck, which they could do. And you're going to get more out of this buyout than you would burying him. You're probably correct. Not going to be able to trade him for the full thing. You'd have to move something else. So all you'd be losing here is a little bit of money-ish.
Yeah, maybe that's the move. I would be surprised if they bought him out. But, I mean, maybe that's the direction that they have to go. It would be very anti-Lou Lamoriello on Barry Trotz, but... We don't know. Like, they need to come up with probably $10 million of cap space just to keep the three RFAs we listed earlier.
Right. So that's certainly an option. And then you got everyone else. Notice we haven't said Ladd. We haven't said Boychuk because they don't return anything.
Right.
Right. Like Boychuk, 833. That's what he would return this year. Who else? Ladd, 666,000. Like, they're just not going to do that because there's nothing there to gain.
Yeah. That's the God's honest truth. Like, if there's nothing to gain out of it, then yeah, you're not going to do it.
You probably not. Like, if they're really short of $666,000, all right, maybe. But again, you could just bury these guys in the AHL.
Exactly. So no, I think we're in agreement. No buyouts.
No buyouts. It is not happening.
All right. So let's get to the price of cap dumps in trades. You wrote about this past week. We saw the Mark Stahl trade. The Rangers had to attach a second round pick to him in order to get him off the books. What's your take on that?
It's going to be a lot pricier than we think. If we want to move Johnny Boychuk, if we want to move Leo Komarov or Andrew Ladd, it's not going to be cheap. Mark Stahl went for, like you said, a second round pick next year. He has his AAV is $5.7 million. So to clear out $5.7 million, the Rangers had to send out a second round pick. But it wasn't just that. Like, Detroit had a ton of space. The 5.7 is nothing to them. Essentially, what they're doing is, I want to move $3.2 million. Detroit, how much is it going to cost you to eat $3.2 million? And it was a second round pick next year, which we don't have, right? Like, that's gone with the Andy Green deal. So what is it going to cost us to send Johnny Boychuk, who still has like $5.25 million left to pay out over 2 years? Beesh. Or lie to us $12 million over the next three.
So the Islanders don't really have the picks, but maybe they would have to attach a prospect. Like, maybe
that's just it. Yeah.
Like we saw with the Ladd, the attempted Ladd, I almost said Panarin. Could you imagine? the Ladd Parise deal that Kiefer Bellows might have had to get attached to that one. So, like, maybe that's the way to go. And I don't know if that's the right idea, but that's the direction it would have to be in order to get it done.
That might just be the direction it has to go in, right? Like, we don't have draft picks soon. We don't have a lot of draft picks coming up, right? We don't hit the podium until 90th this year. We do have our first round next year, but do you want to lose first round picks in back-to-back years?
First and second round
picks. On a system that isn't really doing very well.
Right. A first and second round picks in back-to-back years.
Right. So you don't draft till the third round, which happens, right? Like, the Pittsburgh Penguins have very few first round draft picks over the last 10 years, but they've won a couple of Stanley Cups. So
yeah, you can get away
with it. That's a good payout.
Yeah. When you make the playoffs for what, like 15 years in a row, something crazy like that.
Yeah, it's a fair return. We've made the playoffs twice in the last 2 years, which is great for us, but let's not, like, sell everything, right? I'm fine with The Peugeot deal was fine. You moved a first round pick, you got something for it, great, and it's a great asset.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2 years, it would have to. I would have to see what it is, obviously. But I would hate to see like Johnny Boychuk go with a first round pick to, I don't know, the Ottawa Senators, and you're like, that was too much. That's too much.
Yeah, no, that's not going to be worthwhile. And same thing, like, do you really want Kiefer Bellows to have to be attached to a guy like Johnny Boychuk just to get him out? Like, can you stomach watching him turn into a player knowing that you moved him just because you wanted to free up $6 million?
And you moved out Johnny Boychuk, a guy you like that is still relatively valuable. So, like, but that's where we're at, right? We're going to have to make some of those hard decisions. I wouldn't like it. But if we win, obviously, well, we won, but I wouldn't like it at first. But then I don't know what else to do. Like, what are we going to do? Move our second round pick in 2022? Is that as valuable? Probably not. Well, definitely not. So what are we doing here?
I don't know. That's why I'm glad I'm not in charge of making these decisions, man. It's not good for podcasting. You're not supposed to come up with a I don't know answer, but this is very much wait and see.
I think the answer that we're getting out of this is that we're probably not going to like the deal that Lou eventually makes to clear out some cap space. But we're going to have to stomach it, because if it's moving cap space, and we're trying to move cap space in a flat cap era. So it's the worst possible time.
Yeah, worst time. It's and supposedly there's a chance that it could happen a flat cap again. For the next year also.
I believe it is a flat cap no matter what next year. And I think at most it could go up a million, but I'm pretty sure it's a flat cap next year and it only goes up year three. So.
Oh,
awesome.
Luke. Great. Anything else on cap dumps before we move this thing forward?
No, not that's it.
Okay. So let's get into one of those prospects we were talking about a little bit earlier. So this guy could maybe be a cheap savior for the New York Islanders, and his name is Oliver Wahlstrom. So Oliver Wahlstrom is on his entry-level contract, not making a ton of money, under $1 million, which is good for a team that is frankly struggling with their cap situation. If you are unable to free up enough space, do you think he gets the shot?
Yes. Just because of that, right? Like, his cap hit is 864 or something of the sorts, right? Whatever is his cap hit? 894167. $894,167 for the next 3 years. So this year and 2 years following. Yeah, you bring him in. And, like, he's doing very well right now in Sweden. Yeah, he's playing for AIK in the Allsvenskan. So that's the Swedish second division. He has 4 goals and 2 assists in 5 preseason games so far. 2 of those goals came on a power play. Or aren't 2 different power plays. There were 2 power play goals in the same game. And that was the most recent one where they played against, I forget what their name is, but it doesn't matter. I wouldn't be able to pronounce it anyways. I think it's like Almstuna or something like that. Literally, Almstuna.
Awesome.
Anyways, so he put up 2 power play goals. The prettier one is he unleashes a clapper from like the OV office, and it just, oh man, he gets all of it on there. What you don't see from that clip that we shared on our Twitter page is the 2 shots on goal he gets before that. So he gets 3 shots on goal himself in that 1 power play. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. This kid has a shot, and he uses it, and it hits the net, right? So, love to see it.
Yeah, that's important. The Islanders have some guys who have a pretty good shot that struggled to hit the net. Ryan Pulak, unfortunately, is one of those guys. Jordan Eberle at times could be one of those guys. And Brock Nelson at times could be one of those guys. So, if they are getting someone who likes to put it on net and puts it on net often, well, that's pretty good.
Right, that's what they need. They don't just need volume shooters, because their 1.5-ish shots per game is still pretty good. And per game on the, sorry, per power play opportunity, I should say. 1.5 shots per power play opportunity is pretty good. It ranks 11th in the league this year. Obviously, you would like to see that number go up, because you just want to see more shots towards the net.
Right.
And Oliver Wahlstrom can get that done, it seems. Now, of course, this is at the second division of the Swedish league, so it's not necessarily NHL caliber defenders, and it's also a little bit wider ice. But he's still getting in positions, and he's still using that shot, which is something we want. And like you brought up right from the start, cap control. He's less than $1 million. He's less than $900,000 on the cap. So we can move Andrew Ladd to the AHL and bring in Oliver Wallstrom and have a cap bonus. Have room left over.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Right? If you think about that mathematically, like you move Ladd, you save, you bury 1 point. I guess that's not really how it works, actually. You would open up $1.075 million and you can bring in Oliver Wallstrom in and still have some money left over from the savings you got off of Ladd.
Yeah, there you go. That'd be helpful. We'd sign up for that.
Yeah, I think with all this talk of Joshua Sang playing on that third line or even second line right wing, in all seriousness, I really think that position is destined for Oliver Wallstrom. I would be surprised if he doesn't get the shot first, rather than Joshua Sang, who, let's be honest, the team doesn't want here. Like they made that abundantly clear by having him sit. Sending him to another AHL team and waiving him and no one taking him. Like they just don't want him around.
Exactly. I'm in 100% agreement. I think that, like you said, it's Oliver's spot to lose. I'm rooting for him because the Islanders need young offensive talent to come up. The last one that came up, or the last two really to come up and that were successful, were Barzal and Beauvillier. And that is 4 years ago at this point?
Yeah. Yep. They both came in the same. Well, Bo came in 16-17, right? And then yeah. Barzal 17-18. They both came at the same time, just Barzal played the puck while in the box, and then Garcineau sent it back to Seattle.
Yeah, he got banished.
So, yeah, it's been a while that we haven't brought anyone up, not one. And, like, barely, even then, Wallstrom only came in last year because we had injuries at the start of the year. He put his 9 games in, and they sent him back.
Right. Wallstrom got a little time. Bellows got a little time. Hossein got a little time. But the only one who got a lot of time is Michael Dalcol. And, you know how we feel about it, Michael Dalcol.
Oh, boy. Yeah. So, no, it's his position to lose. I look forward to seeing what he does at in AIK, even though I won't be watching every game because they don't play it when I'm watching. But we'll see. I'll try to catch as much as I can from Wallstrom out in Sweden.
Absolutely. Anything else on Oliver Wallstrom before we move this thing on?
Let's move on to the quiz.
I'm excited for it.
So this is episode 163 of the Eyes on Isles podcast. So I picked a player, Matt, who's played 163 games. 63 games for the New York Islanders. Let me just make sure I've got this right if I didn't pick 163. Because some people will be mad at me, and rightfully so, if he only played a certain number of games and I got it wrong from the onset. It is 163. Good thing I checked.
Good.
Okay, so if you don't know what the game is, I have a player in mind, and I have 5 guesses. I'm giving Matt 5 guesses to decide to figure out who this player is. Matt, are you ready?
Let's do it.
Clue number one. I was born May 7th, 1981 in Syracuse, New York.
Next.
I played 697 games at the NHL level and scored 431 points.
Okay, next.
I was drafted 5th overall by the New York Islanders in the 1999 NHL Draft.
Fifth overall. McCabe?
Yeah. No. Four. I was traded 2 years later to the Buffalo Sabres.
So it was in the Michael Pekka trade.
I don't know.
Oh my god.
You okay, know, I'm gonna stop playing facetiously just because my next clue was the return to the Isles was Michael Pekka. I just didn't want to give away clue number
Damn
five.
It. Oh my god.
This is killing me that I can't remember it.
Because there's two guys, right? There's two first round picks that went to Buffalo. Four former first round picks that went to Buffalo for Pekka.
Yeah, who the hell was it? I don't remember. I'm sorry, that's
his
bad.
His first name is Tim.
Thomas. Give me that one. It's not Tim.
Sorry?
Thomas. I said Tim Thomas. I really don't know.
It's Tim Connolly.
Stupid.
It's fine. Yeah, he played 163 games for the Isles. You know, put up 41 points in 2000-2001, which I know is before your time-ish.
I was right five.
Before. Yeah, so like that's not necessarily in your wheelhouse. But the only one who's played 163 games for the Isles, no one has played 63, so Tim Connolly.
I hold myself to a higher standard. That was embarrassing. That was a bad effort.
But you're good. You're like, eh, it was the Michael Pekka trade immediately. I didn't have to say Pekka, so.
Well, Pekka's my guy. I knew they got him in 01 from Buffalo.
just there you go.
Perfect. Love that. All right, let's get into the social segment. Mitch, what's going around on iOS Twitter? What do you got for us this week?
This one here comes from, I don't know if you've heard of this person, Andrew Gross, ND. No, you haven't, because it's a fake account. So he's got the Andrew Gross Twitter face, and he's got Andrew Gross as the name, and then like a J with a circle. Obviously, these Twitter trolls that I hate. I hate. If you're this person, I hate you. I literally hate you. I had to seek this one out, so I did not click on this one accidentally or get fooled by it. I found this while I was searching for this segment, and it says, per Lou Lamoriello, the Islanders will explore trading Barzal's rights before attempting to re-sign him. Barzal is an RFA this offseason and will be receiving multiple offer sheets. Why? Why would someone write this? They got one retweet, so clearly only one person fell for it. So it didn't work. But why waste your time? To what end? What does this give anyone?
I despise people who try to do that.
Right? Like the fake Pierre LeBrun accounts every year. Why? What are you going to gain from this? Lols, you sit at home like, come on.
Got him.
Come on.
They usually do tend to get Mitch Anderson sometimes. But
I've been better in the last 2 years. I think I got fooled once over the last 2 years. So I'm getting there. I'm leveling up, buddy.
You are getting better. I am proud of you for that.
Thank you.
My next one comes from at Court Uptime. And he says, here are some more awesome renderings of UBS Arena. I know this is an audio platform, but go over to the profile, check out these images, because the new renderings that came out are stunning of UBS. I don't know if you saw them, Mitch.
I did, and it's the sight lines are great everywhere. Everything is great. I can't wait to be in that building and watch an Islanders game whenever it's safe to do so.
Absolutely. I love like the archways lit up in the blue and orange. That is a beautiful touch.
It's not just black, right? It's blue and orange. This is our home.
And the seats are blue.
It's just great, man. Everything about it, like every touch is perfect.
Yep. 100%. So that was my first one. What else you got?
This one comes from Corey Schneider. I don't know if I pronounced the last name correctly, but everyone knows him. He's at Shutdown Line. Does a lot of analytics work and just looking at, like, he was the one who did the passing project.
Ah, okay.
So, anyways, there's a whole bunch of this stats going around. But this one here is from, it's game scores with micro stats for the playoffs. And it's per 60. So it says Point Kucherov still the top spots, by per 60 stats, but it's a lot closer. But then number four, so it goes Braden Point, Nikita Kucherov, Nathan MacKinnon, Matthew Barzal.
Wow.
Fourth best player in terms of game score with micro stats per 60. And then Mark Stone, Jordan Eberle, number six.
Eberle six?
Eberle is six with a 6.014. And then Alex Tuch, Theodore Makar, Rantanen, and Pacioretty, and the list goes on.
Interesting.
Those are the top two guys for the Islanders, and there's not another Islander on this list of, like, I think it's like 15 players.
Wow.
So that's maybe we got to check our Jordan Eberle playoff hate.
I guess.
The guy was doing stuff on the ice. Like, again, game score doesn't just look at goals and assists, and specifically when you're looking at micro stats, it's off the puck, it's away from the puck, or with the puck in terms of generating chances. So yeah, Eberle, man, better than Alex Tuch, better than Mikko Rantanen, better than Kale McCarr. Suck it.
My last one is a congratulations to Adam Pellick, who got engaged. So my question to you, Mitch, is we know that father Matt Martin is an elite goal scorer. Can Engaged and Adam Pellick get even better at defending?
2021 Norris Trophy winner Adam Pellick.
There you go. He's going to win a Norris now. So if Matt Martin turns into a goal scorer after becoming a dad, we're assuming that when Pellick, you know, finds his better half, Jen, that he can become a Norris candidate. Love that.
That's what happens, right? The second you go Beyonce and you put a ring on it, boom, you just hit another level.
I have not got to that level. You should be telling me, Mitch.
I didn't. I have not ascended. My wife is already like at the top, and it's like maybe I leveled up slightly. You know, I went from the bottom to level one. So
you're just anchoring her down.
Yeah, I definitely am. Do you know our engagement story?
No, this needs to be said on the pod. Let's hear it.
Okay, so everyone's engagement story is like the best day of their life, right? And so what I wanted to do was say, like, I wanted to take the worst possible day and say that the worst possible day together is still our best day. That's what I was thinking. So I had the ring. I taped it under the couch in the apartment we were living in at the time. And I waited for the worst possible day. Like everything wrong was happening on that day. And then I would pop the question. And so finally it came on a random Thursday. Our Thursdays at that point of our lives were awful. She was busing to school and this stupid like temp job at answering phones or whatever. And I was school and work and blah, blah, blah. And then we had the dog. Anyways, the dog was sick. I ended up throwing up the dog, Marshall. Ended up throwing up on our bed. She was upstairs in our apartment cooking ground beef and rice. So a lame diet for the dog. And I was downstairs at the bar, because we live below a bar, with my buddies having beers. And I knew she was fuming up there. She's furious. Super mad. And I'm like, tonight's the night. Tonight is the night. And so, of course, I get upstairs, and then she like tells me to come into the bedroom, because that's where we fight. If we ever get into an argument, it's in there. I don't know why, but that's where. Maybe so we can sit on a bed and yell at each other and it's comfortable. Anyway, she's letting me have it, and I go, 1 second. And she's looking at me like, where the hell is this guy going? What is happening right now? I go into the living room. And I come back and she's like, where did you go? And then I get on one knee and she's like, what the hell is happening right now? No, this is not happening. And I proposed. She said yes. And then I revealed the story saying that I wanted our worst day to be getting together still be the best day of your life. And so you can never, the bottom of the barrel to you for you in our relationship was tonight, and we still got engaged. So it can't get any worse. It's not going to get any worse.
That's kind of a cute story, Mitch.
Right? I thought it through. It wasn't just like, oh, here's a ring. Oh, my God. Please say yes.
Please stop yelling.
It was under there for like 2 weeks for me waiting for that perfect day.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. All right. I don't know if I'm going to recreate that story, but it's definitely an interesting idea. I like that.
Thank you. I was going for unique. That's what I was going for, and I think I achieved that.
You hit it on the head. Absolutely. Good. Did you have any other trending stories?
Yeah, one last thing. This is from the KHL, something that I'm following a lot recently. But it says here, after falling down in a 5-on-4 power play, Avtos, so Avtomobilisks, forward Anatoly Golishev, someone that we all know very well, told the refs he stepped on the puck and there should be no penalty. And then at 5-on-3 later, so 40 seconds later, he scores a goal. So they're calling it hockey karma. Because he said, like, no, I, the guy didn't trip me. I stepped on the puck and fell. Don't give him a penalty to make this a 5-on-3. After killing the penalty, I guess, on that same power play, he scores a goal. So he gets rewarded for his good guy behavior.
Good. Yeah, we like good guys winning. Yeah. We need more good guys winning, please.
And with that being said, on Golishev, he's killing it right now. He has 8 points in 8 games to start the KHL season.
Wow. Good for him. That's a hot start.
It helps to play with Pavel Datsyuk, who has 14 points in 11 games. So
that'll do it. That'll absolutely do it.
So that was the last one for me.
Awesome. So I'm just going to get a couple plugs in here before we go. So wherever you are listening to the show, please make sure to subscribe, rate, review, all that fun stuff. It's greatly appreciated. You can also follow along with us on social media at Eyes on Isles FS on Twitter. My Twitter is at Matt O'Leary NY. Mitch is over at TLO Mitch. Facebook, facebook.com/EyesOnIsles. You can also visit the website, eyesonisles.com. You can download our app, the Eyes on Isles app, available for iPhone or Android. And last but not least, Patreon, patreon.com/EyesOnIsles. You can get yourself a ton of bonus content. We got podcasts. We have a live stream. We have so many awesome things over there that's worthwhile to check out. We're going to record our mailbag after this, which is always one of the more fun podcast episodes we get to record. We both love doing it. So if you're interested, check it out, patreon.com/EyesOnIsles. That'll do it for us on episode 163. It was a fun one, right, Mitch?
It was a fun one. You got to hear a lot of backstory from me, so good job on you guys for knowing me a little bit better.
Absolutely. That's going to do it for us. I'm Matt O'Leary. He's Mitch Anderson, and we'll talk to you next time.